Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, I have someone to ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797, a ton to discuss. And we get to your phone calls as Andrew's been very patient and joins us here on 97 on the Ticket. What's up, Andrew? Andrew, my man, you've been on hold for 40 minutes and you set your phone down when we come to you.
Oh, put him back on.
All right, let's, should we circle back to him later?
Yeah.
All right, Brian in Ann Arbor on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Bottom line is this. The team won, and they won a gritty overtime game. They got it done at the end, tied the game up, got the ball, rolled down the field, pounded it down their throats, and they scored. I don't want to be cliche, but 5 years ago, they blow that game, period. There's a lot of different takeaways you can look at it. I think overall, the team got it done when they needed to. There were good parts and bad parts. I think, you know, one of the exclamation points is like, man, I think the offense is rusty, just like all of them kind of are, look like over the weekend in the NFL. But if they start clicking, and if what we saw last night from Jameson Williams could be a prediction of what we have,
yeah,
that offense has another gear that we haven't seen in it yet. And they could put some big points up. If Kobe Durant hadn't made an unbelievable play on a ball, that game also gets blown wide open last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the JMO thing, it's so great to have preseason hype and a player like immediately lives up to it and lets you and makes us realize, you know, because we're used to preseason hype. There's always preseason hype about a player or something about the Lions that looks better than it ever did before. And it just lets us down repeatedly. Historically, that was confirmation of everything we'd heard last night. Didn't see him in the preseason. We saw him in practice, but.
And I'm not going to freak out about a rookie corner getting a couple of PIs.
Nope.
Yeah, you got to play better than that. But, like, especially in the end zone. But if pass interference happens, he's a rookie. He was playing grabby. That's something that can easily be cleaned up. I don't see that as a massive freak out thing. That's just a technique thing. That's not a talent issue.
Yeah, nope. I thought the first one was one of the two. I'm not sure was the first or second one. The in the top of the end zone, if you will, watching it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That one looked like, okay, was it uncatchable for a half a second? I thought maybe it was uncatchable, but he did interfere with it.
Yep.
The other one, he just needs to turn around. If he turns around, he might have an interception because it ends up hitting him in the small of the back. But easier said than done. There's no way in hell I could ever think about doing that job. But I thought Terry and Arnold, for the most part, played a pretty good football game. And I thought the whole secondary did. They kept everything in front of them. And, you know, Stafford was nickel and diming them. They get 5 yards here, 5 yards there. I mean, they end up connecting on one big play for 63 yards. And then there were a couple of other plays that did some damage. But I would say most of his completions, like 25 to 30 of them, were from the short range.
He, the PI, when you're in phase with somebody and you're stride for stride, I remember talking to a secondary coach that says, look, that's going to happen. The most important thing is being there, being stride for stride with a receiver. And that's what I like the most. 248-539-9797. We got Eric on a sell next here on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Eric.
Good morning, guys. Hey. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
I have Champ and Chump. Before I say that, I got to say, go Lions.
Yeah.
How awesome is it to finally be here? Oh, my God. I can't believe it's real. I just have to also say that Cooper Kupp in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes left, Matthew Stafford threw it just over his head. He'd probably still be running right now, and I think the game would be totally different if Matthew wasn't throwing off his back foot and made that throw to Cooper. Like I said, I still think he'd be running and the game would be changed, but thank God it didn't go that way. So for once, thank God for us.
Yep.
I do have a champ and chump.
Let's hear it.
My champ, even though it's so hard to say, Matthew Stafford has to be my champ, man. He, you can tell he is running through 12 years of the Detroit Lions organization through his head on that drive when he is just trying everything in his power to beat us, to get up on that podium, to finally be able to say, yeah, I came back and beat him. And for us to beat him again is honestly unreal again to even talk about. So cool to know that we have beat Matthew Stafford twice in a 1 year span. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say my chump would be Michigan football. I don't understand with all the NIL money and stuff, and maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I am, but is Alex Orjan and Davis Warren, they really thought like that was the real answer? Like, they really thought these guys were that?
Well, keep this in mind, and look, we're going to talk about it at length at some point here, but keep this in mind. Because they didn't get a transfer portal quarterback doesn't mean they didn't target or go after one. It means they didn't get one, and you're not always going to hear what everybody's game plan is in terms of recruiting and all that, and portal stuff's a little bit different than, but I mean, yeah, this is what they've got right now, and they got a 4-star quarterback waiting in the wings and 2 more coming in the next 2 years. But I'm not sure where the problems start. I don't know what they can rely on offensively. I don't know what their identity is offensively. They got to figure out something that they can rely on.
Like you said, we'll address it later on, but that's a mess right now.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Bill in Sterling Heights. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bill.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
Champ is Jameson Williams. He looked like a complete game changer last night, and like the previous caller said, if that's how he's going to play, we got some good things coming. I'm going to chump Wink Martindale just because you guys were just talking about the offense, but I really thought, I know Texas is a good team, a very good team. But, I thought that their defense was better. They looked like they just were playing, trying to play catch up the whole time with what Texas was doing. And, Doug, I want to ask you something specifically, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I listened to your interview with Sharon Moore right before the game, and you talked about the red zone, being in the red zone and finishing in the red zone. And he made a comment that kind of really bothered me. He said something, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said something about it doesn't have to do with the plays you call. It's about executing them. And I sort of did a double take when I heard him say that. It's sort of like trying to absolve absolve responsibility from play calling in the red zone and saying, well, it really doesn't matter what we call it. It's more about execution. And I didn't really like that answer. I mean, I'm not going to kill the guy over it, but it didn't come off right to me.
Yeah. I mean, I coaches say that kind of stuff all the time. But they seriously have to go back to the drawing board and really try and figure out, cause I'm not sure what their offensive identity is. I don't know that they have anything right now that they can count on. I think they probably thought going in that just going to Colston Loveland was going to be very reliable. Colston said after the game, the second interception was on him. But they got to figure something out offensively. And I mean, the defense, look, that was problematic too. And did they get tired? Maybe. Did they play better as the game went on? Yeah. But the reality is they got so far behind, that there's an element of when you get that far behind, you have to kind of scrap your game plan a little bit. But yeah, I mean, if they don't have some answers, this could be a very long season.
Well, that was a game that shows that in today's football, offense beats defense. A great offense will beat a great defense. And Michigan is probably asking themselves, are we that great of a defense? Or maybe Michigan's not asking that, but other people are asking it about Michigan's defense. The defensive line got very little push. Quinn Ewers had plenty of time to throw, and if he was picking them apart at times. And I thought the game got out of hand early for Michigan because they had 2 golden opportunities in making interceptions and missed it. Was it Makari Page that had the one on the sideline that if he picks it, it's a pick six. And there was another one earlier in that game as well. But you don't connect those plays, and it extends drives and end up scoring those drives. That's a problem.
248-539-9797. Brian is next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
I apologize if anyone's already brought this up, but yesterday was the first string saw live game game time contacts if they didn't play at all this preseason. So that could mean, you know, show us why they're a little rusty.
Well, the Rams did the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, lots of teams decide not to play their starters. Lots of teams do decide to play their starters. So
yeah, but it's a good point that the Lions can have a lot more to give offensively and to tighten up.
Well, they did have joint practices for 2 days against the New York Giants, where the starters got way more experience in that than they would in any preseason game.
Well, either way, it was an exciting game. I was there. The first half was good. Second half was, you know, was dragging on, and like you guys said, that overtime drive was impressive.
It was very, very impressive. I mean, to just get the football.
The soul crusher.
Yeah, and just say, we're going to shove it down your throat. We are going to turn and hand it off. And, I mean, they did have a reverse, although I didn't see it. Did you miss the overtime kickoff and first play? Because on my cable system, we came out of commercial break, and the Khalif Raymond reverse play had just ended.
Oh.
We did not. Kang, you didn't either, right?
Yeah, I missed it. I was like, am I the only one? And I talked to you this morning. You missed it, too. I'm like, yep. All right, maybe everybody missed it.
I did something different with the game last night.
Which is?
I watched it on Peacock because it's in 4K.
Okay. And so you didn't have an issue?
No.
You saw the kickoff and overtime?
Yep.
And,
you did?
Yep.
No, I might have to switch over to Peacock for these games.
I did not.
The only reason I did is because it was 4K.
No, I was pissed because, Doug, like, they come back and you miss not only the kickoff, but the reverse, like you said. But I'm like, okay, they'll replay it. You know, I'll get the replay. No, we never got the replay.
I'm guessing that the network didn't know that they... did it happen on a local level or something?
Yeah, that might have been it.
Maybe other people. And so the network didn't know that the people here locally didn't see it. Now, the kickoff was a touchback, right? So it didn't really matter. And by the way, I'm not loving this part of the new kickoff. The teams are just saying, well, we'll just give them a touchback anyway.
Well, because they had one return yesterday for a touchdown in one of the games. And I think that's what teams are going to realize. You know what? It's not worth it. Just take the ball at the 30.
Yep.
Eventually, they're going to give them the ball at the 40.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the move, Gator.